Okay, good night. The time now is 11:45 p.m., quarter to midnight, and we are on our way to Jerusalem. I just finished giving a speech in a mass demonstration in Kfar Saba, 18,000 people, which in Israeli terms is humongous. Ora, remind us, where were you tonight?
So, I was giving a speech in Ha'ogen Junction, which is basically out of my in-laws' house, so a different kind of stress, I would say, and also in the small town Or Akiva, which is considered a very right-winged affiliated town, so both challenging yet satisfying experiences.
Yes, Ora, but you were on many stages, on the most important stages of this protest in the past 29 weeks, right?
So I would reject that and say there's no such thing a non-important stage.
Absolutely.
So yes, I've been deeply involved, I guess, from week one of this protest or fight, whatever you want to call it at this point.
Okay, so maybe this is now the time to kind of introduce ourselves. I would say that my name is Nir Barak, and my friend, colleague, Ora Peled Nakash, we have known each other for many, many years, like you heard before, from our days in the Naval Academy. Ora, maybe you should introduce yourself. Go ahead.
Oh, talking about myself, my favorite topic.
Yes.
No problem.
Yes.
Let me go. Mother of two, born and raised, and a member to date on Kibbutz Ramat David. A high-tech professional, currently on kind of like a career break due to current events in Israel. Highly involved in this protest and other civil protests in the past. Friends with Nir Barak for many years.
Yes. I am a father of three amazing boys. I am a lecturer, a teacher of political science, political philosophy, and the like. I'm very much involved or active around demonstrations like hundreds of thousands of Israelis across the country, and this is another night of ongoing protest, one of many of the for the past 7 months already. Ora.
Yeah, did we ever have a life before all this started? Because it's really, you know, sucking out all our attention, energy, and I would say even the drive or passion to do other things, because it does seem like an emergency to me.
I think it's an emergency. I'm not sure it captures the significance of what's going on, because in Israel we're always in some kind of a state of emergency, but this is completely different from everything that we have known before, because there have been right-wing governments for at least a decade, okay? We can dispute if before it was left-wing or right-wing.
Let's say central,
that yeah, we should say that there was the right-wing is in power for many, many years, and despite the fact that I do not consider myself to be right-wing in any circumstances, I have always seen legitimacy in governmental action. I was critical, I was protesting, I was trying to, like many others, to create alternatives, but the institutional power had civic legitimacy across the country. We disagreed with the central government, but we thought that its use of power is within legitimate means, more or less.
I wanted to add to that. So, interestingly enough, I think the last civil action I took, not as public as I'm involved these days, was probably in the Black Flag movement. It started in Israel around the COVID crisis. Just a grassroots activist group looking to kind of like challenge the extra power the government led by Netanyahu took to themselves early in 2020, a lot of civil actions, traveling to Balfour Street in Jerusalem on Saturdays. Kind of like alarming the dangers of not having checks and balances. And it feels like those were the seeds of what we're experiencing these days.
I agree, but maybe we should also remind that the black flags and the protests in Balfour started because of three severe accusations of Prime Minister Netanyahu, or how he has been called since there, then our crime minister, abused of severe cases of corruption.
Well, actually, if you want to dig even deeper, more back, you could go back to 2017, which I was active then as well on the submarines and surface vessels conspiracy or deal, whatever you want to treat that, like a deeply controversial security deal, lots of money distributed in what seems to be a corrupt way, also led by Netanyahu. So there's been, I would say, deep roots to the resistance and the protest movement, which is boiling these days, I think.
And since then, there has been ongoing drama. Five rounds of elections, ongoing through the COVID pandemic, which all add up to a mass drama, let's say before the drama, general fatigue, especially of people in our age group, where we have to first take care of our children, take care of our parents and our grandparents, those of us who still have grandparents with them.
Earn a living. Which is becoming even more difficult in current conditions.
Trying to build our own careers and maintaining civil resistance to vis-a-vis political corruption. That's one thing. That's the, let's say, the normal Israeli drama.
That's the baseline.
that's what I meant when I said that the state of Israel is always in a state of emergency in some way.
Wait, we haven't talked about
the occupation.
The insecurities, the rounds of escalation, having rockets occasionally being shot at your home. Probably more in the center of the country. Tension in the northern border occasionally.
Declining personal security, high cost of living. That's the Israeli baseline. Okay, that's what Israelis define as a good quality of life. We have an anomaly in this country. We always rank one of the top 10 in countries that report being satisfied with their lives and
happiness.
It's an Israeli anomaly. That's how we are built. That's how we're designed. That's a part of being Israeli, at least being a Jewish Israeli. But something completely changed after the last elections in November 2022. This government came into power in early January 2023, and that's where the new state of emergency came into being, where we saw, even before the election, how radical, messianic, racist parties are gaining legitimacy, or are given legitimacy by Prime Minister Netanyahu, only trying to secure his own power. These are forces that have never been legitimized before so powerfully. I mean, they have been legitimized before. I'm taking a step back, but not in such a fierce manner.
Well, if you go, even just an anecdote on that, if you go back to the elections, or kind of like the campaign leading up to the elections, Netanyahu would not go on stage with Itamar Ben-Gvir,
for example,
which is now his quote-unquote national security minister. So something completely shifted, and like all gates kind of like shattered open since, you know, the political, or this government wasn't stated.
Any type of norm or ethical standard that we still pretended that existed was shattered in how would I say this, intentionally, so that Netanyahu can secure a coalition after the fifth round of election. We're talking about people who are upfront racist, people who have called for ethnic cleansing in their own words, people who have called for burning down of Palestinian villages. We're talking about people who were accused in court of support of Jewish terrorism.
Or you could actually say these are the Jewish Taliban, to speak, and yeah, they're not ashamed of that in any way.
Yeah, some would call them Judeo-Nazis. These are people who gained legitimate. We're talking about our finance minister. We're talking about our minister of internal security, or
national
however you
security.
Want to, national security.
Now, yeah, internal, yeah, is not enough. You need to be, yeah, nationalist.
We're talking about anti-LGBT people. We're talking about people who are sexist upfront, who are saying that women should not be in places of power. They object, for example, Ora Pelet Nakash, who was the first naval officer in Israel. That's how we know each other, actually.
The woman, the first woman to graduate.
Yes. Sorry, of course. The first woman to graduate from the Naval Academy.
Great times, basically.
Great times. This completely changed how we think about politics, how we think about what's going on in the government. That's where this current round of civil resistance was born. And it's quite amazing to see what's going on. I remember... okay, so I went to the first protest that was in Tel Aviv, in Habima. That was the very first protest in the first week of when the government came into power. The second protest was the one that maybe some of you saw, people standing in the rain with umbrellas, very much determined. And during that protest, I was in Haifa, which was much smaller, not as dramatic as the events that went on in Tel Aviv. And I remember walking around, I have this megaphone, I don't know how to call
megaphone
it.
Megaphone is
megaphone, yeah. Walking around, screaming, democracy or rebellion, democratia or mered. We will either have a democracy or we will rebel. Civil disobedience against the government. And I remember people around me saying, you shouldn't use that word, it's not polite, it's not like us, etc. But more and more people are realizing that the kind of events that are going on now are actually risking, are not actually, are severely risking the ability to continue pretending that Israel ever was a liberal democracy, or I'll say this a bit less critically. The democratic part of the Israeli regime is now under threat, under severe threat. And that's why we call this either a judicial coup, a regime coup, because that's our understanding. People who have been trained to be soldiers, to be officers, to obey the law, to protect their country, are realizing that if they will continue this path, they might find themselves serving a dictatorship or a non-democratic regime. I'm not sure, by the way, Ora, I'm not sure that the word, now this is the political scientist in me, that the word dictatorship is the right word, okay? Because there are many variants between a non-democratic state to a full-blown dictatorship.
Spectrum,
it's
right?
A spectrum, right.
Okay, so where would you put us post-Monday, once the legislation kind of like hits the ground running?
On the short track, away from democracy.
Okay, but I think we do have some models we could draw from, or examples. Hungary, Poland, yeah, Turkey, we've seen countries go that path, right?
Exactly. So that's what we now call in Israel the salami. The salami. Okay, so let's describe this. The first attempt, all the way from January to more or less the end of March,
yeah,
just before Passover, was a full-blown coup where many laws were trying to be implemented. Civil resistance raised very high and very rapidly, and we managed to block that very successfully. Since then, the central government became wiser and said, okay, we're not going to land all our power at once. We're going to start with small, supposedly minor legislative changes. But our understanding, and this is how we got to this point, and we're now at the entrance to Jerusalem. Our understanding is that if the first slice of this salami, no matter if it's a thin slice or a thick slice, the first slice of the salami will be cut, we are officially off the track of being a democratic country and on track to being a non-democratic country. At the end, it's a full-blown dictatorship. I don't want to see the end. I don't even want to see the beginning of this. And this is what got us here.
And let me close with the words of President Biden. Please stop now. That's to you, Nir. And to Netanyahu, I guess.
So, we're going to camp out tonight in the middle of the city of Jerusalem. We will report more tomorrow morning. Good night, everybody. Peace and love.